last time, toward the end of the day, I was at my studio and I decided to do what I'd done the night before, which was to kind of sit on the floor and just feel that disc thing. And so I kind of went down and then I, because it this time it hurts kind of through, it hurts like flesh hurt. Mm-hmm.
Does it, you mean it's radiating all the way to the front?
Yeah, yeah, and it's really more down, and last night as I was sitting, it was just shooting in the knee, but yeah, now part is less now.
But you're feeling it kind of originating from around the SI joint there on the right side.
Yeah.
It's sort of radiating to the front, but then the it's also following a sort of sciatica pattern down your leg.
Yeah.
Where is it going
really straight down here.
Like straight down the center there,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, right in the middle. Anyway, so that brought me to kind of do this, and that brought me back to that girl with the gnat just at mm-hmm. the center, but I felt it so much here. And once I was down with this, I was nonetheless back to what she had touched on, which was the appendicitis episode.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, I was just there. This time by mm-hmm. myself. After I saw you last time. I could see the place, and what it brought, well, so I broke down and all this and all that. I really thought it was pretty much over.
Sorry. I hear that one a lot, you know.
And so I was crying and everything, and at the end, what I felt out of it was that what the guy did to me, the little, you know, rapey thing, was actually not the worst part of it. I really got this time that the worst part was the terror and the mm-hmm. powerlessness of it.
Yeah.
And the fact that after the surgery, no one was nice. First of all, there was no visitor, there was no company, they were not caring at all. Actually, I remember that they shamed me because after, you know, when you wake up in those days, when you woke up from anesthesia, you were not well for a while. Mm-hmm. And they shamed me because I was nauseous and I couldn't really walk by myself to the sink.
Oh, you were shamed for that too.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah. So.
So there was the unwarranted assault, the unwarranted appendectomy.
Yeah.
And then some shaming afterwards as well.
Yeah, and I mean the appendectomy, you know, that'd be one thing if you're in pain and you go through what
sure.
you're supposed to go through, but the fact that I knew I had nothing was mm-hmm. really part of that terror. It was like, no, listen to me.
Did you try to tell them that at the time?
Oh, I screamed all day. That's what I remember.
Yeah.
Just trying to get someone to listen. And so that was interesting to see that this was really that powerlessness was really the main thing to me about it. And that it was not really what the guy did. You know, you can go through a moment of pain or whatever, even if you don't expect it, but they really hurt me after that. I mean, I stayed 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you were in a sense sort of kidnapped, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, it really plays with the idea that others can really hurt you, the world can really hurt you. And then, so I was finished with that piece. I got the tissues, I blew my nose, I went back down. And the second thing that happened was that, this is the best way I can sum it up is that I was looking at my family. asking them how to proceed, what I should, how I should do my life, because all that they pointed to really was how bad people were and how wrong the world was. And
you mean afterwards, when you had, so you had sought some kind of comfort or guidance?
There was really, you know, they acknowledged the fact that for a little girl it was a hard experience to go through being doing a surgery away from your family, but that's where it stopped. There was nothing happened, nothing was really talked about much. That second part of me on the floor in my studio the other day was just that, you know, that idea of the world and people that my family gave me. I'll give you just one simple example, which is that, and I've been meaning to bring that up the last couple of times. I think it was on my mind, but one example is that my stepfather, he has that really bad habit to call everybody a con, you know, they're like, it's more than dumb, it's really, really demeaning. And him and my mom were, you know, you'd see people on TV or they'd talk about people they knew or people at the office. They were all stupid and in a very, very, as I said, it's not, I don't really know in English what the equivalent is, but you know, they're all dicks, they're all this, it was always so judgy and negative, and the French are pretty judgy too. So, but it's not just that, it's that I have realized recently that it wasn't just that my family was presenting personal relationships in a nightmarish kind of way, but they also described the world in a very scary way, because they were politicized and they presented the world as a very dangerous, unjust, out to get you world.
Yeah, well, I mean, and we've, though, you know, we've connected this to, these are Holocaust survivors, so
right,
they have some, they have some reason to feel that way.
Some of them.
Yeah.
Not, and my dad has nothing to do with the Jews, and he had the, but he is, you know, he's a rebel, he was politically very involved, and, you know, and then there was May 68, and the people, the police beating people up, and it really, because I had very little direct experience with the world and others besides school for a long time. There was no family, there were no family gatherings. When they were, my mother was really down on them because it was my stepfather's family. So relationships to other was really difficult and scary until I came here. And so that's what happened since last time. It was that moment of, okay, but if everything is that bad, just in that moment in my studio, I was really asking for how, what do I do with this? And so, yeah, it was interesting for me to, I felt that, yeah, I had been sitting with it a little bit. So beside that, not much. It, you know, I was thinking of my story last time of having to explain myself to others, and really it's more than explain, it's really justify. I think I felt a burden not only to my family, but to the world. It's like every action I've taken, it's like I have to measure what impact I have, you know, I mean, it's just, yeah, kind of not feeling exactly the the right to be who I am, that it's wrong, that it's just wrong.
Well, I think you probably understand, you know, my perspective on these things, including what we were talking about last time, is that you have to get to the root of the issues, including with trauma and the emotions that were involved that were never really processed or integrated, which is basically, you know, what the first half of what you were just going through was kind of about, of recognizing what part of it were the emotions that you hadn't sort of processed. And, you know, the interesting thing about that, when you have a whole system of that, like in Chinese medicine, you see it presents itself as this pain, and you see that it follows meridians this way as sort of an expression of that. And, you know, as we described then, that, you know, the first time I treated you, right? And right. Then, you know, there's like, you know, you get these emotional, these big emotional cathartic experiences like that, you know. But then the point is to get it more into something tangible. It's like, what do you do about that, and how are you dealing with that now? And in particular, for, you know, the pain being kind of the guidance to the acupuncture and having this conversation with it, you know, that involves what we've been talking about or working on with identifying those feelings and sort of sitting with them. And I think that in the kind of framework of PTSD, that a big part of that is like your brain understanding what you should do differently in the future, right? And that's kind of maybe more the second part of what you were talking about, is how then afterwards, you know, you were kind of trying to figure some of that out. So, you know, for one thing, and when it comes to assault, and when it comes to adverse childhood events, as they're called, I mean, I don't know if I told you this, there's pretty interesting research. And a while ago, I was digging up some study in PubMed that was looking at what adverse childhood events have the biggest impact through a framework of inflammation and inflammatory markers. And people generally, like, you know, everybody, you know, thinks any kind of like child abuse or sexual assault is so nasty, that people kind of assume that'll be the case. Rather, it's parental separation and abandonment that has a more pronounced effect, you know, on these markers, right? You know, so anyways, that kind of goes into what you were saying about it, right? And then also, like I said, the trauma or the PTSD framework is, you know, like anytime something bad happens, you know, we culturally, at least in the US, for quite some time have had this irritating notion that a pat on the head is what people want and what they, you know, what's going to help, rather than helping them sort out what happened, why it happened, what they had some control over, and if they can avoid that in the future, versus is there some part of acceptance that they have to have for the fact that, you know, there's one random chance in the world, and there's two evil in the world when it comes to the Holocaust or senseless child abuse and assault, right? So to me, that's the process of how, you know, that's processed and integrated to some degree. And in general, you know, what patients often will like thank me for is the fact that I will ask them some questions beyond the pat on the head, including, you know, that have you considered, you know, whether you have some guilt or anger towards yourself, you know, for what got you into this situation to begin with, right? Is that something that you've acknowledged with this, right? Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it'll be in there. It'll be part of that process. And, you know, having some emotions with that is, you know, something you just want to like let happen. But, you know, with that, the next part of the conversation is, you know, are you holding on to something that you need to forgive yourself for in that sense? And I think a good way to approach that too is, imagine if you were consoling a 9-year-old. What would you tell that 9-year-old? Would you say, you little dummy, you should know how the world works? You should be more prepared for evil? Like, you wouldn't do that, right? You know, and you want, I mean, you know, we all want children to have some valid concern for the dangers of the world, while at the same time not, you know, ruining their experience too much with the knowledge of, you know, all the different possibilities in life, right? So, right. So I think that that's, you know, that's something for you to continue to sort of sit with and think about.
Yeah.
And I would, you know, tell you to use that kind of example of, you know, what would you say to a 9-year-old that had come to you with such a, you know, experience, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I'm what it made me think of is just, first of all, really how that, you know, it's really too bad I didn't get to know my mother's side, although they were the Jews and they had their own trauma, I'm sure, big time. But my father's side, my grandmother and my father, they have no concept. How did they give me that? You know, if I look from the point of view of what I would do with my child, I would definitely do many things differently, and I would certainly not give me or the child to my grandmother for a year, because they just had no, she had no concept of what a child was. She had been unable to raise her own children.
Mm-hmm.
She was lovely. In a way, but she just existed only for herself. But I know that at the time of the appendicitis thing, she was the one who told me that my parents divorced because of me, because I was born.
Great. Yeah.
You know, and then at the same time, my mother was remarrying.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot going on right then for me. And it was a time of loneliness. And it was before she found my stepfather to marry. She had been in that relationship with my grandfather, my father's father. Which was not easy for me.
Well, that's all pretty weird.
It was the best summary. Weird. Yeah.
Well, and you know, that's just like all the different kinds of dysfunction you could, you know, come up with. You know, you've got a little of everything in there. And I think that, you know, the process of reprocessing some of that is in a similar vein as we've talked about before. The fact that, like, as a child, you don't understand. These people are just bigger versions of the same, you know, 3-year-olds that are
right.
in the rest of your world. These, you know, we assume at a young age that these are some type of deities that are enlightened and somehow know what to do in the world.
Right.
And part of then what, you know, why we don't process these experiences at the time is because, you know, we don't, what we can do later is we can have this adult perspective and say, okay, we've got, you know, whatever was on your father's side, the American GI, you've got the Jewish side and the escaping the Holocaust. And, you know, I assume not only fleeing the Holocaust, but they're in France. I assume this wasn't exactly safe during World War II, you know. And whatever other, you know, dysfunction or lack of parenting or alcoholism or anything else that, you know, was the environment that these people came out of that they weren't able to sort out or process,
So. Yeah. I know. I won't know. You know, ill feelings toward them at all.
Mm-hmm.
I carry some of their...
Yeah. Well, and, you know, so we'll get to the treatment here. We'll get to the acupuncture for the pain. And especially, like, doing a lot of this type of work in some other patients here recently with some PTSD. It's like, you know, the physical symptoms always come up with the emotions, right? And with that sort of mind-body connection perspective, like, we understand that's for a reason. You know, you want to have a sympathetic perspective towards that, right? Like, let's say the emotions are coming up and physically you feel great. Like, that's more emotions to deal with, right? I mean, that's how it works. Like, it's your brain trying to divide this up a little way, you know, bit in different ways that it can handle it better, so to speak. You know, that the physical symptoms will help to manage the emotions, and I think sort of throttle them back, you know, to some degree, right? And I mean, you know, this goes to why people have these big cathartic reactions. Like I said, was, and I don't know if you'd like the book. I know I mentioned it before, The Body Keeps the Score.
I saw it in a bookstore a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And I was really interested. I almost bought it.
I think it's interesting. It just doesn't tell you what to do about it, you know? And so that's, you know, this is my job as I see it, is to know what to do about it, right? And it's, you know, as we've performed for quite a while here, that having the discussion about it with the acupuncture, you know, gives the opportunity to process some of it so that we can take the crutch of the physical pain away, right? I mean, that's the model of it in my mind. And how much do you see any kind of diet stuff as, you know, because people will, you know, and I've got some newer patients that recently have been blasting through the process, you know, and then there's some stressor or something that comes up, and then what do they go back to? Is it the physical symptoms? Is it the lifestyle stuff? Do they go and, you know, do they binge on the food that we've already tracked and we've identified this is going to cause a flare up of their IBS or their lupus or their crazy, whatever it is, you know? So anyway, is there any kind of other behavioral stuff that is, or diet stuff that you think is, you know, manifesting some of that, or is it, are you doing well there?
No, I'm not doing well with the diet. I mean, I think of you, of course, when I'm making choices.
Yeah, there's the voice in your head. I hear this, right? This is what the beard here is for. It's part of the clinical persona, that when you hear the voice, if there's a beard. So.
But I don't hear it that way right now. I hear it more of, okay, no, if you're going to do it, do it with some pleasure.
Yes, absolutely.
Let
so,
yourself, yeah. you know, go astray a little bit.
Well, you enjoy the pleasure and you also recognize the self-harm on the other side of it is part of the strategy that is intentional, right?
Right.
You have some sympathy for the fact, just like you do for the back of the leg pain here, you know?
Yeah, and which is, you know, thanks for that. Yeah, it's not all about beating myself up. I'm curious more than anything. What's gonna happen? I'm really hoping that I can, you know, pull through this to something even slightly different. But it feels like this is a moment of it that might be that. Might be.
Well, I think so. I mean, I think that this, that, you know, you don't get there otherwise, right? I mean, this is the problem, you know, and I've got, like, I'm trying to type up a couple summaries for some, you know, I got a couple of new prospects, which are like, you know, early mid 30s, IBS and diagnosed with borderline personality. And, you know, I know what'll happen when they come in. What they'll come in is they will say, I want some relief for the physical symptoms, for the anxiety, the emotional stuff, like, well, I'm kind of dealing with that over here, and I don't want to have to go there now with the physical relief, right? And it's like, well, yeah, good luck with that. That's not how it works, you know? And so, you know, for those people, like, especially, I have a pretty good I have a pretty good approach for them these days that I've sort of worked out. And, you know, I mean, one, and it's sympathetic, and two, it's like encouraging them to understand, like, you know, if I can tell you how to do everything right tomorrow and in 3 weeks, you will feel great. And that idea to you right now, acknowledge, is terrifying. Okay, because you're giving up all this stuff right. that's managing all the right. all the emotional symptoms that you would not be able to handle otherwise, yeah. you know? And so, you know, I kind of present this perspective and kind of lay out a little bit of a roadmap for them. Like, we're going to work on the lifestyle stuff. We're going to work on the diet stuff, right? And as you do that, you have to recognize that, one, taking care of yourself. Ooh, that's a tough one. That's yeah. going to bring up some emotions.
Yeah.
Oh, feeling better, right? Having some relief. Who are you without the out of control anxiety, you know, is what they will. And when we go real quick through the process, gut health and herbs, and a month later, I'm sure I've told you some of these, you know, younger, especially female patients like this, they're like, I feel no anxiety at all. And I like, I've never felt this way before, and it doesn't feel like me, right, is what they say.
Right.
And that's always like, uh-oh, red flag.
Right.
They're going to freak out now, right? Because nobody likes to, right. you know, feel like they're caught in some other reality of a dream of they don't know who they are or something, you know, weird. Like, well, let's grab onto what we know, you know, and it'll be the anxiety or the symptoms or the
yeah.
self-harming through whatever substance, including the wheat and sugar, you know?
Yeah, so. It is scary. Mm-hmm. It feels scary.
Right, well, part of that, though, I mean, in getting over the barrier here is imagining what that looks like, you know? It's okay. Yeah. So you put some of this stuff behind you, right? And one, hey, you can always go back there, right? Like, this helps to set something down.
Oh.
Man, that you can remember, like, hey, yeah. whenever you want, you know, we can go yeah. back and hash it out again, right?
That was really big.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was so funny.
Yeah.
And because it was funny, it got really in. I mm-hmm. just saw it.
Yeah, right. It. It's part of the strategy here, I'm sure you know. you know, so that's part of it. Yeah. And then, too, it's you know, it's having some kind of vision or imagination of, you know, what you're gonna do, what your goal is. Like, you your quote on that is there has to be a pull, not a push, yeah. you know. So
that's hard for me. I don't see it at all. Really, mm-hmm. I don't.
Well, but you know, part of it, I think, you know, when you talk about these things, you have this judgment towards yourself of there's some like you're talking about the person who in your mind you compete with, even though she has probably no idea, you know, and right. that she's a lunatic,
right.
That you're holding yourself to these standards that other people, you know, don't necessarily see or care about. Right. And so I think part of that is like, you know, do you need to give yourself some permission to just like do it for yourself, enjoy your life?
Yeah, what I was are you thinking about that?
Who are you trying to prove this to? Right. You know, so that's, I think, you know, that's all the stuff that you can, you know, work into the process here.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about that. Should I use this? Because it makes me, the thin competition, makes me angry. And it gives me maybe the impetus, would it give me the impetus I need
mm-hmm.
To overcome my fear and anxiety? And I thought, maybe I should find my own reason, my own direction, not for them. But yeah, I mean, you know, just the monetary value that has been placed on me legally in inheritance stuff. Just like, okay, recently, before it was like my mom's inheritance, and I had to really make sure that I had gotten the same amount than the others, but I didn't because whatever. It was calculated and she got more money. Of course, my brother got more money because he is the son of the two. Mm-hmm. She still got more money than I did. And it's not, of course, it's not about the money. It really felt like they were, again,
yeah,
placing a lesser value on me.
Might be more about validation, right, and, you know, childhood abandonment than it is about money. So,
but this last time, not only my stepfather acknowledged the story of the appendicitis, which blew me away because we'd never talked about it. And he said he felt guilty about that, which was amazing because nobody else ever said anything like that.
Well, and you know, you really, you should be somewhat thankful for the, some of the validation, but just even acknowledgement of a lot of, you know, some of the childhood stuff with some of these people that are still around. I mean, I know so many people, I see so many of the younger as I've described them, that, you know, the parents are long gone, you know, including like some of these, I've had a couple of these female patients, you know, and they have all this tension in their body with their gut health, with their hip pain, their endometriosis, you know? Yeah. And it's, and there's all this unresolved stuff with, especially their, you know, their parents or their mother, especially with like the endometriosis stuff. And, you know, they lost their mother, you know, at some younger age, you know, and that's a tough one, you know? So.
Yeah. I think I was very fortunate really that I got the, first of all, that I'm French in a way, because you know, I feel that a lot of people I meet here have a lot of difficulties with their own feelings. So at least I could really, you know, I felt things all along the way. But also the Wallace really helped me, because it really started transforming my view of the world and of myself in a very direct way. And it helped me find compassion for my mom. And even if she reacted really poorly to the change in me, where I was not getting drawn in so easily in conflict, she hated it. She at first absolutely insulted me when I said, no, let's stay calm, let's just talk. She just lost it. Told me I sounded like a nun and whatever. So, but eventually I felt good about the changes that I had been allowed to make. And so that allowed me to not have too much unresolved stuff with her, and to see her, and since she died, to see how I didn't see things about her that were so obvious in her own, about her own trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I feel very lucky about this. And also I didn't have that much family. My grandmother, it's another thing. My grandmother, I have forgiven myself. I had to, because it was just way too heavy.
All right, well, let's get to some acupuncture, where you get to decide how much of this pain you want to let go of at the moment. How's that?
Okay.
Alright, I assume you want some heat?
Yeah.
Focus a little bit more on your back pain here.
Okay.
Since it feels sort of like it's emanating from there. And, you know, we do this sometimes in the past, and we'd switch back and forth each treatment.